Hello. As always, Masha tells you stories and welcomes you to the third episode of podcast Film Gracia Artis, or just Film shortly. Here I share tales that inspire and reveal the unique experiences of creators, makers, and lovers of all kinds. I hope you find this program interesting and encouraging whatever you do, practice art or enjoy living and learning about other people's creativity. In the context of art, philosophy, and psychology, creativity is generally understood as the ability to produce novel and valuable ideas, works or solutions often involving imagination, originality, and expressiveness. According to the definition given by the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy, creativity is often examined as a disposition to produce new and valuable things, involving both ability and motivation, and for sure, creativity is the ability to see order and chaos. Remember Einstein's quote, order needed by the ignorant, but it takes a genius to master chaos. Thriving amid chaos might seem like an impossible feat for those who don't know the way with it. Chaos for organized individuals seem a total mess, though creative thinkers source from it. I find chaos rather interesting since it implies freedom, adaptability, flexibility, and creativity. And to tell you the truth, chaotic behavior sometimes occurs in my life and in lives of many other people also, because chaotic behavior in general exists in many natural systems, including fluid flow in rivers and oceans, heartbeat irregularities, weather, and climate. It also arises spontaneously in some artificial systems, such as road traffic. Scientists apply mathematical models and analytical techniques like recurrence plots and Poincaré maps to study chaotic behavior that affects a variety of disciplines, including meteorology, anthropology, sociology, environmental and computer science, economics and engineering, psychology, and even art. The last two seem the most interesting to me, so I came up with several questions to articulate here. Is art a reflection of chaotic thoughts? Why do creative people seem to ordinary ones like chaotic individuals? Is it possible to balance between chaos and order without compromise, especially if you are a creative person? How does it feel to be made of chaos? Let's start with a puzzle. Imagine something that symbolizes the untidy process of creativity. It can be messy and display a real exploration, experimentation, and willingness to embrace chaos, rather than being a neat, linear process. Visually, it may look like Anish Kapoor's chaotic and mesmerizing sculptures, or Damien Newman's iconic squiggle, a deceptively simple visualization of a design process that has resonated with problem solvers across industries for nearly two decades. It may be Pablo Picasso's Guernica, the painting that evokes a sense of chaos and turmoil, and works by artists like Jackson Pollock, known for his drip paintings, which convey a sense of frenetic energy and randomness. Elusive paintings by Joan Miró are about the balance between earth and sky, where the earth represents reality and the sky represents dreams. All these works represent the alchemic of creation, the embrace of chaos of the artist's thoughts and emotions. While painting is often seen as a controlled process, it also serves a medium for embracing chaos. When pigments are applied in unconventional ways, a dynamic interplay between artistic intention and randomness unfolds. This controlled chaos brings vitality to the artwork, drawing viewers in with its raw energy. Artists like Mark Rothko embrace this method, deliberately allowing chance and spontaneity that shape the works intended to cause emotions of a viewer. The diversity of emotions, which feel like a battle between good and evil, or a struggle between chaos and order, forces of destruction and safety. Chaos is not merely a threatening power, but the very source of life, energy, and transformation. Nietzsche and Deleuze made lots of efforts to explain this to us. We need chaos to survive and evolve, yet if we confront it too directly, without mediation, it can overwhelm and consume us. The challenge is to harness its energy, to tap into its creative and productive force without being entirely engulfed by it. But how shall we do this? What tools and means, and what mediators are the most helpful? Thus, creators have their paints, inks, and canvas. We have threads and fabrics to confront the chaos of our minds and emotions, and to transform the energy into a productive force, giving out results filled with movement and sometimes unpredictability. Artists can explore the concepts of chaos in textile art by embracing randomness and unconventional techniques, or by using the medium to represent the unpredictable and changing nature of chaos, moving beyond traditional methods like weaving or embroidering, exploring techniques like knotting, braiding, or even incorporating random found objects or materials into textile pieces provides enough room for an artistic chaotic nature and its exploration of the unique beauty of a soul in a perfect imperfection. A creative mind can challenge the traditional notions of textile art, pushing the boundaries of the medium, for example, framing the wrong side of embroidery as an art piece, accepting its twisted flaws and knots, and catching the glimpses of silhouettes in that unevenness. Besides the unpredictability of the wrong side of embroidery, which conflicts with traditional approaches of classical schools of needlework that follow the rules of keeping both sides of embroidery neat and perfect, there is also some space for creative chaos and explorations, allowing to come more expressive results through techniques like free-stitching or incorporating unconventional materials like metal nails, sea glass, herbarium, photographs, just anything. Experimenting with such materials opens the way to mindfulness and the therapeutic nature of embroidery. The repetitive nature of it can be a meditative practice, allowing one to focus on the present moment and quiet, intrusive thoughts, fostering a sense of calm and creativity. The act of stitching helps to reduce stress and anxiety, releasing neurotransmitters that promote joy and well-being. Instead of depicting specific images, anyone can just create abstract embroidery pieces, focusing on color, texture, and form, allowing viewers freedom of interpretation. Combining embroidery with other art forms like painting, collage, or quilting can create a unique and unexpected blend of techniques and materials. For example, using discarded fabrics, buttons, or other materials to create new embroidery pieces. Furthermore, it can be a way to embrace chaos and repurpose materials, practicing sustainable thinking, while developing adaptive and coping skills. In such a perspective, I'd like to pay special attention to the hero of today's episode. Nowadays, many of those who run such programs invite creators, artists, and authors to a dialogue or interview, and it's just fantastic that they perform in public and become known, but at the same time, there are still many names of those whose legacy, experiences, and life stories, and ways of coping with their chaotic feelings and souls or the chaos of the world are worth attention. Unfortunately, they cannot tell us about it, since they are no longer in our world. I would appreciate the chance to talk to them, but the only thing that I can do is follow the play of imagination, having an illusion that we are meeting now and interrogating each other about dealing with soul chaos through creative practice. Let me introduce today's hero, Judy Scott, someone I'd like you to know about. She was a groundbreaking American fiber artist, best known for her intricate and powerful wrapped sculptures. Her story is about personal triumph, resilience, and the transformative power of creativity. Judith was born in 1943 in Ohio, and her life appeared to be rather dramatic because she was a person with Down syndrome, and for many years she lived profoundly deaf, though this went unrecognized. As a child, she was separated from her twin sister, and for 3 decades she was institutionalized until 1986, when Judith's sister became her legal guardian and brought her to California, where Judith's life changed. It was her artistic awakening. In 1987, Judith joined the Creative Growth Art Center in Oakland, California, which was an innovative studio supporting artists with disabilities. After years of practice and exploration, she discovered her favorite and the most rewarding medium, fiber and thread. Without formal training and using found objects, she began creating stunning sculptures by wrapping, binding, and weaving yarn, string, and fabric around various core objects – chairs, wires, sticks, boxes, and even bicycle parts. Her works were abstract, tactile, and emotionally charged. The process of wrapping and closing now is seen as symbolic, perhaps an act of protection, secrecy, or transformation. Each piece is highly personal and intuitive, with no titles or descriptions. Judith never spoke, but her art communicated profoundly. In such an approach of avoiding names, titles, or explanations, Judy's art resembles the works of Mark Rothko, being totally different in realization, they bound cows and serve silent narratives. Judy Scott created hundreds of sculptural forms. Some forms are cocoon-like, dense and compact. Others are more elongated, asymmetrical, creating tension between expansion and restraint. The materials are chaotic, but the process is obsessive, even meditative. A slow accumulation of form, like building memory or identity, or even efforting to control chaos. Scott's work taps into a distance between spontaneity and method. There are no sketches, no conscious plans. The creative act is purely intuitive, built from internal impulses and the meaning that remains mysterious, echoes deeper themes. Concealment and revelation, fragmentation and wholeness, silence and voice. Objects hidden inside the wrappings may never be seen again, yet they are central to the form, like secrets wrapped in memory. Many sculptures feel like incomplete bodies or organisms, hinting at transformation or reinvention. Though Judith never spoke, her works communicate profoundly. The chaotic tactile surface becomes a language of its own. The works fit within the tradition of outsider art, but they also align with concepts of entropy in art, when disorder itself becomes a generative force. Like Jackson Pollock's strips that I have already mentioned and Eva Hisse's tangled installations, Judy's sculptures embody a rawness that resists easy interpretation and in doing so feel deeply alive. Fiber sculptures created by Judy Scott are not simply chaotic, they are charged with meaning, emotion and energy. They speak from a place beyond language, where creation is not about controlling but feeling, transformation and being. In her hands, chaos becomes a form of order, a process of healing and declaration of presence. By the way, Judy Scott's work gained international acclaim. Her sculptures have been shown in major museums, including the Brooklyn Museum, the Museum of Modern Art in New York, La Collection de l'Art de Brux in Switzerland. 10 years ago, in 2014 and 2015, the Brooklyn Museum hosted a major retrospective called Bound and Unbound, Judy Scott Sculptures. The exhibition highlighted the vital importance for creative spaces for inclusion and empowerment, but I spot there a little bit more than an inclusion. The example demonstrated to us by Judy Scott is a pure blossoming of her chaotic soul in the absolute chaos of real world. I feel like there is one more question left unanswered. How does it feel to be made of chaos? We are to answer it by ourselves, since in every one of us there is a small or huge portion of chaotic nature that looks rather messy if we observe it too close. But at a distance the picture changes, and the portrait looks like fractal patterns of Romanesca broccoli, beautiful and well organized, created wisely by nature. Textile practice moves us beyond simple needlework or free time activity, giving us a chance to become aware of our true essence and uniqueness, even in the form of chaos. No matter what chaos you have, let it be a fantastic impulse that guides you in embroidery and textiles or any other art expressions you like. Let chaos become a form of order, a process of healing, a creation, a declaration of presence and freedom. Just feel it and enjoy it, and I will be back soon.